I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touché.
You go right, you go right, you go left, you go right, you go right, you go right, you go left, you go right.
It's a download here on 720 WGN Radio. I'm Justin Kaufman. In studio with me, Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling. It is time for Touché, where we take a left and right look at national politics, some local as well. Good to see you guys. How are you?
Good to see you, Justin.
I am back from the Hamilton tour.
Oh, yeah? You went and saw Hamilton?
No. We went to all of these incredible Hamilton spots.
Of course.
We went to Weehawken, where Hamilton and Burr ended it for Hamilton. And I got
to
tell you,
the U.S. history, the boring U.S. history part of Hamilton.
Have you ever been to to Weehawken?
No, no.
It's, have you seen it?
No.
It's unbelievable. It's really amazing, the view you get over there. But we went to his house, family. We went to Francis Tavern, all these Hamilton spots. Morristown, Jockey Hollow.
Wow, that's cool.
So Chris and I were debating before we started, because I said, I don't want to hear any of it until I go see the show live. And Chris has now heard all of it backwards and forwards and has memorized the entire show.
Courtesy of my sophomore rising junior son, Charlie.
Yes, he knows all about it.
Oh, man.
Well, let's make a transition to this week's politics.
To contemporary. But so wait a minute. I got to tell you something.
Okay.
214 years ago today is the day that Burr and Hamilton had their duel.
Oh, that's topical.
Happy birthday. Or death day.
Happy
or
death
something.
Day, yeah.
I don't know if, something.
Okay, so a lot of unrest in the country this week. Obviously, what happened with protests, the shootings in Dallas of police officers, the continued protest over the weekend, even into today. You know, as we talk about unrest, and there always seems to be politics around it, do you see that this being... I guess an advantage to one political party or the other?
You know, I obviously Trump is trying to turn it to his advantage. He gave a speech in which he said, I am the law and order candidate 100%. And he's trying to, you know, pull. He has been doing things out of the Nixon playbook from 1968. And I've been saying that on this show for months and months, right back to when they had that event ill-placed in Chicago in March. He wants to create, and I'm not saying he's creating the atmosphere in the country. Real events are happening. They're horrible events. But he's trying to leverage that. And I don't think that it's going to play out for him the way that he thinks it will.
He doesn't really have anything to lose because the African-American vote wasn't going for Donald Trump anyway, right?
Well, this is just a Democrat turnout ploy, and that's all Black Lives Matter.
Oh, my God.
Is.
Oh,
and that's
my God.
How can you say that, though? You say that with a little bit of tongue-in-cheek, though.
No, I'm not saying that.
But how do you,
I'm saying that because all they are interested in is racial division.
No.
And I say this in general. There are pockets. I even posted this beautiful video of this Black Lives Matter group and this kind of biker group coming together down in Texas today. It was really great. I commend it to everybody's attention. So there are great people who inhabit Black Lives Matter, but there's a lot of cancerous rhetoric. But it is the Democrat. David talks about he wants to raise racism from the Nixon era. I'm going to raise the phony church burning scandals of the
90s. Actually, I didn't say raise the racism. I said raise the law and order stuff from the Nixon era.
The silent majority.
But Chris,
we're talking about here is something that actually statistically doesn't really exist. And if they cared about Black Lives, they'd be concerned about all the people who are being shot in Chicago.
No, but there's a difference, though, because...
No, there's no difference.
There is a difference,
There
Chris.
Is no difference
there
between
absolutely
some
is.
Kid in Chicago who's killed
They're different
and some
issues.
Cop.
Why can't they be different issues? There's a difference...
Because the
way the police have treated African-Americans for decades...
That is bad.
Is bad.
We understand
But what I'm saying,
that.
That's what the protest is about.
Understand that. Every one of these big city police departments is run by a Democratic mayor and a Democrat commissioner
but
and a Democrat city
politics.
Council.
But that's why it's not politics. What I'm saying is...
It is politics.
It isn't politics because the Black Lives Matter movement went against Bernie Sanders. And against Hillary Clinton, you'll see what happens in Philadelphia, that I don't think they're going to choose one party or another. They're going to get their voice heard from authority.
Oh, yeah, they are. Oh, yeah, they are.
I don't think that this is some sort of...
What Justin said, and Look, it is so offensive to me, Chris, every single time you say that this is a political movement, a George Soros-funded political movement that's designed to increase Democratic turnout. Black Lives Matter started because black people who were either unarmed or were not using arms or were lying down on the ground like Laquan McDonald and shot 16 times got sick and tired of having this stuff happen against them. It is not a creation of the Democratic movement. It is not a creation.
Who came out for Rahm to step down from office because of covering up Laquan McDonald? Not you.
Yeah,
not you. Me. Okay, I was on the Laquan McDonald before you ever said a word about it. So don't talk to me about Laquan McDonald.
And no.
And I want to tell you something. Every person out there in America understands that cops have to be held to a higher standard and that cops should not use deadly force unless absolutely necessary. Everybody understands that. And the times that they fall short are horrible.
Right.
And sometimes it's because of racism, but not always. Okay, and
agreed.
And the propensity on for black officers or for officers are killed at a higher rate by African American offenders than they are other racial
Chris, this
group.
Is the only problem I have with the way that this conversation is going is it always seems to transition out of the political ramifications, is what we're talking about here in Touche, and into what we just don't know. We're white guys
the
who are doing a segment.
My
point being that the political story here, the one that you threw out, the premise, that's what we're arguing. The idea that somehow this is a hatched up thing to drive voter turnout for Democrats is really flimsy. And that,
I don't think that's flimsy at
all.
Okay.
These guys are desperate because they
know that, look, despite everything, despite every one of his ridiculous statements, despite every one of his crazy self-referential errors, Donald Trump is still in many polls within the margin of error with Hillary Clinton.
And what does this have to do with Black Lives Matter being somehow an invention?
The Democrats are desperate about black turnout.
Dave, let me
ask you. They're not desperate about black turnout. I got to tell you, Chris, the one thing Democrats are not worried about is black turnout. There is no greater turnout machine for Democrats, for blacks and Latinos and women, than Donald J. Trump himself. And everybody I know, every political person I know in the Democratic Party is 100% confident of that fact.
Let me ask you guys this about
my experience. I have Democrats pulling me aside at parties saying, he is going to get a vote in the black community that you will not believe. And I say, why? And they say, because he is talking about jobs and Hillary isn't.
Oh, she is. And you got to stop smoking that hopium, Chris. That is a complete fantasy. And I will bet you on this air right now that Donald Trump's turnout in the black vote will be no higher than 5-6% max.
I'll take that bet.
And done. I love it.
Put up
Let's take a break. Let's take a break here on Touche, and we'll come back and let's talk about the conventions. They're coming up next week. We'll talk about whether or not we will see political unrest with protests out front, but also vice presidents. I mean, it's got to be this week, right? I mean, this is the week that
it's the week for the Donald.
This is where it's got to be, at least for Donald Trump. We'll continue the conversation.
Newt.
Chris Roebling and Dave Lundy here on the Download. Stay with us.
I just said that.
I know you just said that.
Okay, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
Well, I'm not sure where you're going with this.
That's what I just said.
That's what I'm saying to you.
All right.
Touche.
Touche here on the Download, 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman, Dave Lundy, Chris Roebling in studio. We'll continue our conversation here. Protests are the topic. Talk about the conventions. Both here comes the RNC in Cleveland next week. Philadelphia the week after for the DNC. There's already been planned protests for both conventions. The unrest that we're seeing in the country now, do we feel that it's going to bolster protests at both of the conventions?
I think there's going to be a lot of protesting at the Republican convention because the Democrats, just like here in Chicago, want to provoke some kind of conflict.
No, we don't. In fact, I would urge every Democrat listening to my voice, don't protest in Cleveland.
They're not going to be listening to David because they know what their orders are.
You
from
actually
above.
Like the concept of, provoking protests at the convention because it's more.
No, I think the protests that I'm looking for at the convention, and I don't know if you guys saw this last just a few days ago. A couple of guys have done a polling of the entire Republican delegates, and the hard Trump people number about maybe 800 to 825 or something like that. There are other people who are nominally pledged to Trump, but they're disappointed with how he has been doing. And I think there's a possibility of folks actually taking a look at this. Now,
let me ask this question to both of you guys.
I would love it.
You've been doing it for years. Is there any chance we see some history coming out of this convention where Donald Trump runs into some trouble before he's nominated?
No. And look, Chris and I have been having this argument for months now. I've told him that his nominee was set. It was done. They're pledged. They're not opening it up. I will be shocked, absolutely stunned if that happens. You've also been saying for months, and I have to call
you
on this.
You've got
to
call me on
it. I have to
it.
Call you on this. Chris has been saying that Hillary Clinton would not be the nominee. Chris, can we get you on the air now to admit that the nominee of the Democratic Party will be Hillary Rodham Clinton?
So sad to say it.
I haven't heard you say it.
I'm really sorry about it. I'm hoping.
Let me ask about
an outbreak of sanity.
I've noticed this obviously the Republican convention will garner protests because of Trump and the style. But it's a Democrat convention in Philadelphia. I mean, you think about some of the protests that have happened at the Democrat side, even in history here in Chicago. But we also saw it in Los Angeles in 2000. Like, do you think that protesters will bring the heat at the DNC side as well?
I do. I do think there will be a lot of protests at the Democratic convention. What will be interesting is that the Democrats will be protesting the Republican convention and the Democratic convention.
They're going to be busy 2 weeks.
It'll be a busy 2 weeks for them. I'm going to the convention. I'm looking forward to it. I'm really excited about nominating the first woman to head a major party ticket. I think we're going to have a great convention. I have no idea what they're going to do in Cleveland because Trump was supposed to release his list of speakers a week and a half ago.
Still hasn't.
We're still waiting. All we know for sure
There's
is that his
night,
wife
right?
and his kids are going to speak. And Mike Dick does not. He declined. And Mike Tyson, who he wanted to speak, apparently there was a quota on rapists. So Mike Tyson will not
all
be
right,
speaking.
All right, Chris, let me ask you about how this has all been set up when we talk about conventions. Would there have been some talk about Donald Trump speaking, you know, they walked him off of that ledge in the way that he was going to speak it every day, which was different. Talk about the balance between Trump breaking the system and the order of an RNC.
There are indications that Trump may be announcing his vice presidential choice even tomorrow. There are indications. I don't know that, and I don't know who it's going to be. But
Newt.
I do know
Newt.
I don't think it's going to be Newt, but I think that he is getting close to that. And that's a big prelude because you make the announcement and then you tour together with whoever.
For a week.
And then they go
out and do a few events
together and speak and always try to get on the same wavelength.
That's the conventional approach. Do you think Trump's going to do that?
I think that actually is going to be done. And there are a variety of folks he's looking at, some of whom, for instance, governors, specifically the governor from Indiana, Mike Pence, who has been mentioned many times, especially
he met with
him
a couple weeks ago. Yeah.
Yeah. 24 hours, 48 hours. He's come up a lot. They've got big political operations and the Trump political operation right now is not a very big or very sophisticated or very well running political operation. So I think this is a fascinating, just if all of that happens, but I do think you will see a move by folks. Now I know the Rules Committee and I know the RNC doesn't want it. And I know there are folks out there who are pledged against, et cetera, et cetera. I think there are folks who want to be heard. And Paul Ryan is going, as chairman of the convention, is going to have to make a decision. Do we let this go forward? Do we have that voiced on our floor and give voice to both sides? Or are we going to bottle it up and just act like there's no big deal and proceed from there? I hope he lets the conversation evolve.
I heard crazy rumors at the end of last week that Ivanka Trump, the daughter of
Donald,
was a consideration for vice president.
Come on.
I know. That's what I said, too. But everything's been come on for the last 6 months.
Right, except there is a constitutional provision that says you can't have the
all right, good. That's what
president
I want to hear.
And vice president from the same state.
All right, there we go.
No, what I'm curious, actually, I'd like to ask Chris a question.
Please go ahead.
Chris, so what do you make of the fact that Donald Trump, after promising that he would not allow anybody to speak who did not endorse him, asked Ted Cruz to speak without requiring an endorsement?
Welcome to Trump land. I mean, we're living in Obama land with all of this racial hatred and animosity and all these terrible things going on.
You can't control yourself, can you, man?
I'm just reporting as it is, man. I'll tell you.
All right,
but
quick,
no, Trump land, he says one thing and does another.
We only got 2 minutes left.
It's kind of like
Do you
Obama.
Have speculation on who the vice presidential candidate would be for both candidates, for Trump and Clinton?
I think that Trump is going to try to surprise people. He does not like whatever the most conventional wisdom is, so he will do something different. He tried with the general over the weekend, and that didn't work out so well when he was interviewed by ABC, said he was pro-choice, and then there was a hubbub, and then within 24 hours he said, oh, I meant I'm pro-life. That didn't go over so well. Yeah, that wasn't a great moment for him, his vice presidential
pick. We heard Pence. Who else?
Newt Gingrich and Chris Christie are still being talked about.
I think Christie and Pence are the ones probably at this point. I think Gingrich is a personal friend of Trump's. They've known each other for 20, 25 years. They are in touch a lot in the off season, so to speak. And so I think that you're looking at Gingrich probably wants to play a very big role and probably look for a cabinet job or something like that.
Democrats, quick.
Democrats, I'm going to stick with Tim Kaine. I think it's
boring.
I'm sorry. They're doubling down on boring.
I think Tim Kaine is actually a fascinating guy, and he's got a lot to say, and he's a mayor. He's a former mayor of Richmond.
And a governor.
And you know, Tim Kaine is the kind of guy most Republicans would sort of feel like, well, at least he's not as bad as some of these folks, like Elizabeth Warren.
I think that's what hardcore Democrats and Bernie Sanders don't like. They don't like that you're going with a pick for the vice president that would go.
Bernie Sanders is endorsing Hillary Clinton.
That's probably why they did the budget. Why Hillary did the budget busting college proposal.
All right. We'll leave that there.
Oi.
Dave Lundy.
Chris, you're killing me, man.
Got a way to pay for that?
Well, Roebling's figured out the timing of this segment.
That?
He knows it's live. He waits till the last 10 seconds and he throws something in that can't be challenged.
Thank you.
Chris Roebling, Dave Lundy, Touche. Thanks for being here, guys. Next week.
See you next week.